You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, y'all, I know. It's been a while since I've been on with y'all. A lot has happened since we last were on the air, man. It's been a crazy world of sports recently over this past month or so. And you know, y'all, like we always say, man, life has been lifing, man. Just nothing like super crazy, anything like that, man. Just a lot of things to take care of, and you know, a lot of things come, you know, up, and you know, got to shift your priorities sometimes and take care of things. So, you know, that's all I've been doing, man, just making sure I'm, you know, staying ahead of the game and making sure that I'm not only, you know, keeping my body right, because, you know, I stay in the gym. If y'all follow me on social media, you know, I'm always in the gym, but also, you know, just trying to make sure I'm staying set up for success as much as possible, man. But I hope, you know, throughout this break, man, y'all have had a good time. I hope, you know, you guys are enjoying, you know, your year. Been a wild ride in 2024, man. It's just crazy, man. This is like the year of beef, man. We got everybody's beefing in the rap game. I mean, we had, you know, Drake and Kendrick with the one of the most legendary beefs. You know, shout out to my dog, Drake. I don't care what y'all say. He the GOAT. You know, I got Drake with the W in the beef, you know, to each his own, whatever y'all got to say. You know, it doesn't matter because, you know, my boy Drake is always and forever going to be the GOAT. And hey, you know, I'm just ready for the summer vibes, man. I'm ready for what new music is coming out that we can vibe to in the summer. Speaking of summer, man, we are less than a month away. June 20th marks the first day of summer in 2024, man. I cannot wait. And look, June is also the best month in the calendar year. It's the best month. No debate. And y'all ask me why it's the best month. That's because your boy was born in June. That's right. I know it's the last day of June, June the 30th, but nevertheless, still June. I know Gemini season is here, but Cancer season is the most important, man. Shout out to the Cancers out there. But, you know, let me not start a war. Let's get into this sports talk, man, because we got the NBA playoffs going on right now. Exciting, the Eastern and the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, couldn't be more excited to see, you know, who's going to ultimately be in the finals. I did make a prediction before the Eastern and Western Conference Finals started. So, you know, I will tell you guys my prediction at the end, but just know that I did say this was my prediction beforehand, and I am going to stand by that. And I know, like I said, I wasn't on air to say that, but you can check my Twitter if you want, if you want to verify if I actually did make this prediction. But again, let's kick into it, man. So Eastern Conference Finals, man, we got the Celtics versus the Indiana Pacers, man. Boston is currently up 2-0 after they won last night's matchup. But let's just backtrack before I get into the details of game two. Want to quickly go back to game one, man, and what was a outstanding thriller of a game, man. I mean, the Celtics pulled out the win 133-128 in overtime. Jason Tatum finished with 36 points and 12 rebounds. He led the way for the Celtics. Behind him, you had Drew Holiday with a huge 28-point game. Jaylen Brown, 26 points, knocked down a huge three in the final seconds to send this game to overtime. Celtics, as a team, let's look at what they did, shooting 47% from the field, 33% from three, excuse me. And most importantly, they won the turnover battle, which I thought was a big difference in this game. Forced 22 turnovers for the Pacers to their 15. And one of those turnovers being the most critical turnover at the end of the game, like I said, with in regulation. There was a few seconds left, man, and Pacers had the opportunity to inbound the ball and get fouled and go to the free throw line to extend that 3-point lead to a 5-point lead. But they failed to do so and turn the ball over. But just looking at what the Pacers did, they were actually led by Tyrese Halliburton. He had 25 points and 10 assists in the game. Siakam, 24 points, 12 rebounds, and Miles Turner, 23 points and 10 rebounds. Naismith also had a solid game as well with 14 points. This is a game, like I said, man, this is honestly, really and truly, if you want to keep it 100, if you want to keep it a buck, this is a game that the Pacers should have won. Like I said before, man, they had a lead down the stretch, but that bad turnover gave the ball back to the Celtics. They actually shot better from the field than the Celtics did, 53% to 47%. And they shot better from three, 37% to 33%. And if there was ever a game that you wanted to steal, man, it's game one, man. When they had the Celtics' backs against the wall. And like I said, unfortunately, they could not, on their end, they could not get that done. But looking at that game, man, the Pacers, they were down 13 points in the second half, battled back. And so you got to give them their credit. Brown, he just hit a tough shot. And, it's crazy because looking at the inbounds play where Jaylen Brown caught the ball in the corner and just hit a tough, there's really nothing you could do about that. But before that play happened, I was thinking to myself, the Celtics should foul, not give them an opportunity to get the ball, which was ideally, the smart thing to do. And then you kind of think about it. I saw, some people saying, why wouldn't they have fouled before they inbounded the ball? Now, the only issue with that in the NBA is if you foul, if you take an intentional foul before the ball is inbounded, they're going to treat that like a flagrant foul. So they would have gotten two shots and the ball. So you would have been looking at the game. Celtics would have been down by 1 point. If they knock down both of their free throws, assuming that, and with a chance to get the ball back to hit the game-winning shot. So, there's a lot of different scenarios. It was just, the inbound pass went straight to Jaylen Brown. He was well covered. He just, like I say, he just hit a tough shot. So, but again, got to do a better job of getting the ball in inbounds. No reason why they should have turned that ball over in late in the game like that in a critical moment. So, let's fast forward. Let's look at game two, which was last night. Celtics won 126-110. Jaylen Brown, man, a huge 40-point game. Followed by Jason Tatum with 23 points. Derek White 23 points as well. Looking at the Pacers on their end, Siakam, he had a 28-point game. Nembhard, 16 points, had a solid game for him. But here's where the problem lies in for the Pacers, right? You had Tyrese Halliburton, 10 points, 4 of 8 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3. Really struggled. You had Miles Turner, only 8 points, and Naismith, only 9 points. So all three of them had lackluster performances. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. It's not going to get the job done. Celtics shooting 53% from the field. That's just when a team is hot like that, it's just, hey, they were rolling and also shot 40% from three. I mean, Boston, there was a clear, advantage from, game one to game two. I mean, Boston really just came out rolling and really didn't take their foot off the gas. I know the Pacers went on a run. Cut the lead to 6 before halftime, but in the second half, I think Boston did a really good job of continue to force the issue, continuing to keep the ball in the hot hand of Jaylen Brown, and they got a huge win, man, and you could kind of just see the Pacers just they just look defeated, man. It's it's just one of those things where I think that they're still looking back on that game one and saying to themselves, man, if there was a game that you wanted to steal, man, that was the game that they could have stolen and shifted, you know, that momentum and a home court advantage back to Indiana. But again, that didn't happen, and you have the Boston Celtics are now up 2-0 in this series. Now, biggest question is, you know, how do the Pacers get back in this series? So it's shifting to Indiana. They'll be playing, you know, on their home court. And, you know, honestly, you know, looking at it, this is just one of those situations where they need to play better, man. I mean, you cannot have a game where Haliburton is shooting the way that he shot last night and only having 10 points. And you cannot have Miles Turner with 8 points. I mean, these are two of their biggest scorers. I mean, Siakam is doing his job. He's having solid performances back to back. And, you know, he needs his other leaders to step up. I mean, you know, they're going to be game three is going to be on this Saturday night again in Indiana. And I do expect the Pacers to come out with a lot of energy on their home court. You know, that's what typically happens when the series shifts to the opposing team's home court. So I do think they'll come out with a lot of energy, play with a lot of speed, some good pace. And, you know, I do expect them to fight back in this series and, you know, could very well tie the series. But I definitely do expect them to fight back and make this a series in game three. So, you know, again, I do think, like I said, I don't think this is a series, a game that they'll be able to run away from. Like from a scoring standpoint, but I think this is just going to be another, this will be one of those games where it's Pacers come out swinging, Boston battles back, and you know, it's a tight game down the stretch, similar to game one. I could see a game like that in game three. So yeah, we'll see what happens, man. Let's shift to the Western Conference Finals, because we have, Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're going to be facing off tonight at 8:30 on TNT. Mavericks currently hold a 1-0 series lead. Let's talk about game one. Mavericks won 108-105. Luka, 33 points. Kyrie, 30 points. Mavs shot 49% from the field. Really struggled from three, only 24%. But this is where the difference in this game was for me. They destroyed the Wolves in the points in the paint. I mean, you're looking at 62 points in the paint versus 38, and they out-rebounded the Timberwolves 48-40. So we're talking dominating in the paint, and second-chance points were the two biggest factors in this game. And, you know, the Mavericks did a great job of taking advantage of that. When their shots weren't falling, they continued to attack the paint. I mean, you look at Kyrie Irving, man, was leading the way and just really, really, you know, putting the team on his back. And obviously, you had Luka there too. But I mean, that performance that Kyrie had in the first half was just, man, it was a great performance. I mean, I think he had, what, like 24 to 26 points or something like that in the first half. I mean, he was doing his thing, man. I think that, you know, him, you know, putting his team on the back and, you know, just seeing the way that he's led these guys from his championship experience. You know, obviously he's been there. He knows what it takes. He's won a championship. So like I said, he's doing a great job of getting these guys to really follow his lead. And I mean, dude was out there balling with tassels on his sneakers, bro. Like, I know y'all saw his basketball shoes, bro. He had tassels on there. Like, but just looking at Kyrie's, you know, his package, you know, handles, shot, the way he finishes at the rim, it's amazing, man. He won arguably the best finisher, you know, at the rim. So, but again, man, let's just see if, you know, they continue to keep, you know, everything going in the right direction tonight in game two. But let's look at what the Wolves did in game one. McDaniels actually led the way for them with 24 points. Carlton Towns had 16 points. He did struggle from the field, 6 of 20. Rudy Gobert only had 12 points. Ant-Man, 19 points. Did struggle, 6 of 16 from the field and 5 of 12 from 3. So Towns, Edwards, and Gobert, they have to be better. You know, Edwards did mention, you know, after the game that they were tired. They did come out flat. He said they probably were just tired. You know, looking at it, I mean, I thought that they came out with some good energy, but obviously if he says they're flat, you know, they have a certain standard that they hold themselves to as a team. So, you know, if they say if he said that they were flat, then, you know, that's what it was. But, you know, them being tired and fatigued is understandable, especially with them, you know, coming off a 7-game series against the defending champs, Denver Nuggets. I mean, a hard-fought series. But again, you know, however, they can't use that as an excuse, and they do have to play better. You know, I thought the pace of the game was really good on both sides. They did keep it, you know, it was pretty fast paced, back and forth, and you know, everything. It's just the Mavs, they found a way to win. So I'm excited to see game two tonight. And I think that the Wolves, they do, you know, have some pressure right now, especially dropping that one at home, a game that they wanted to win, obviously. And you know, so now they need to win this game and go back to Dallas with this series 1-1. So let's just see how, you know, see how Edwards comes out. And I think that, you know, this team goes as Ant-Man goes. So he's going to have to, you know, set that tone early. And, you know, I think the guys will rally around him. But again, you got to have better performances from you know, their main guys. Carl Anthony Towns, Gobert, and Edwards. They gotta do a better job of you know, scoring the basketball. But, you know, I trust the Wolves. I think that they're a team that has bounced back and rallied from tough losses. So they're a very resilient team. They're a young team. So, you know, I'm excited. Definitely excited to see. So let's jump, man. Let's jump to our next topic. I'm going to, like I said, I am going to tell you guys my finals prediction later on in the show. So make sure you stay locked in. So let's talk about the NFL draft, man, very briefly, because, like I said, a lot has gone on. I didn't get an opportunity to really cover any of the draft since I was, you know, out for a while. But I just wanted to quickly go over the top 10 picks and you know, tell you guys who I thought had the best draft, who I thought was the biggest steal in round one, the biggest surprise in round one, and who I think is the most underrated or not talked about enough draft pick. And yeah, we'll just go from there. So let's look at the top 10. So you had my Chicago Bears. You know, this was a exciting draft for me, monumental time for the Bears, taking Caleb Williams with the first overall pick, which is expected, no surprise there. Jaden Daniels, number 2 to Washington Commanders. Drake May went number 3 to the New England Patriots. Marvin Harrison Jr., number 4 overall to the Cardinals. Joe Alt at 5 to the Chargers. Malik Nabers at number 6 to the Giants. J.C. Latham, number 7 to the Titans. Michael Penix Jr., number 8 to the Falcons. Rome Odunze, number 9 to the Bears. And then you had J.J. McCarthy go number 10 to the Minnesota Vikings, who traded up to that 10th spot. So again, man, this was a pretty good draft, man, across the board. I thought that, you know, I like I said, I was excited. I know, you know, Bears fans around the world were excited as well. So let's just talk about the best draft. So, in my opinion, I think, you know, and of course, you know, I'm biased to the Bears, but I did think that the Bears had the best draft. I mean, you talk about getting the best quarterback in the draft from a talent perspective and upside. I think, you know, Jaden Daniels is not that far behind, because I do think that Jaden Daniels, you know, what he was able to do last year at LSU and the SEC, that was really special. And, you know, you can't take anything away from him. But I do think that we did get the best quarterback in the draft, and also, you know, arguably the best route runner in the draft in Rome Odunze. You know, you add two guys like this to this team, and you talk about the other additions that the Bears have had, you know, in the offseason, bringing in Keenan Allen to pair alongside DJ Moore, and now you have Rome Odunze. You get a DeAndre Swift, an electric back out of the backfield, man, who can hit the hole with a lot of burst and speed, and then also can catch the ball out of the backfield. And then you also bring in Gerald Everett to pair alongside Cole Kmet. And then you have Kevin Byard, a veteran safety, to replace Eddie Jackson in the back. And you know, then you bring in Shane Waldron, an experienced offensive coordinator from Seattle, who you know, had Geno Smith as an MVP candidate, a guy who has a very interesting scheme that he runs, and the way that he's able to utilize his tight ends and the way he's able to disguise his different plays. I really like Shane Waldron's scheme. If you're a Bears fan listening right now, I encourage you to, you know, go on YouTube and just look up videos of Shane Waldron's scheme and the way that he calls games. I really like how he attacks defenses on all three levels in all three phases. So, I mean, not phases, but all three levels on offense. So, yeah, man. And then, you know, the rest of the Bears draft picks, their third round, 75th pick, they got an offensive lineman, Kyron Amadaji from Yale, fourth round. They got Torrey Taylor, who out of Iowa is the best punter in the draft. So field position is everything. So that's going to be huge. And Torrey Taylor, if you saw Iowa, he got a lot of practice putting the ball at Iowa. So definitely excited with that pick. And then you got in the fifth round with the 144th pick, the Bears, who traded back into the fifth round. They picked a defensive end, Austin Booker from Kansas, who I think is a really good pickup for them, especially, you know, looking for another edge rusher to pair up alongside Montez Sweat. He also have a possibility of signing Yannick Ngakoue back to the team. So, you know, obviously going to look for some veteran help to you know, put in front of Booker where he can learn. So, again, excited to see where they go from there. But, you know, ultimately, man, I think the Bears had the best draft and the best offseason overall. You know, and that's, just look at it, man. I mean, I know y'all may say I'm being biased, but just look at the Bears edition and look at the draft that they just had, and how they have Caleb Williams stepping into one of the best situations that a rookie quarterback has probably ever stepped into in NFL history. And, you know, obviously there's going to be some growing pains with that, but he has the weapons and the tools around him to be successful. So, you know, definitely excited for the future of the Chicago Bears. But biggest steal, man, let's look at the biggest steal of the first round, man. I thought Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs at 28 was the biggest steal. You talk about a guy in Xavier Worthy who, you know, could be comparable to like a Tyreek Hill. And we know that the Kansas City Chiefs love to have that speed. So I thought that was a big pickup for them. Biggest surprise, man, Michael Penix Jr. getting drafted to the Falcons at number 8. I think that surprised a lot of people, especially Falcons fans who were very frustrated with that pick initially. But, you know, they're growing to really appreciate and like the pick. But for me, you know, I like Michael Penix Jr. I think that he's a really good pick, you know, for them. Obviously, you know, the biggest question, and it wasn't the fact that they made the pick. It's just the fact that they paid Kirk Cousins all that money and guaranteed him, what, $190 million or something crazy like that, coming off of a torn Achilles. So, you know, obviously they need to make sure they have a quarterback of the future. And next year's draft is maybe not necessarily as strong with quarterbacks like it is this year. Yeah, looking at it right now, I do not think it's as strong. I mean, obviously you got my boy Jalen Milroe coming next year. So coming out next year. So excited to see you know, how his career, you know, continues to progress and where he ends up. But, you know, you got to take quarterback. And but I think the fans, and they wouldn't be as frustrated if he if they didn't spend as much money on Kirk Cousins like they did. And then also, I know some people were kind of pissed because Michael Penix has had an injury history as well. But, I mean, Penix can really spin the ball. I think that, you know, good pick for them. And they'll over time, they'll grow to appreciate that pick. So, I honestly thought that they were going to take Dallas Turner, or, you know, or somebody like that at number eight. Or some people thought that they would take a receiver. I didn't think they would take a receiver just because they had Drake London already. They already got Darnell Mooney from us and everything. So I didn't necessarily think they were going to take a receiver there. I was hoping Rome was going to be there at nine, and he was. So I'm glad about that. But and the most underrated or not, you know, talked about pick, my guy Terrion Arnold, man, going to the Lions. I hate that he's going in my division. I hate Dallas Turner is going in my division. He went to the Vikings. I hate when Bama guys get drafted and go to teams in my division. I mean, I'm always gonna you know, root for them individually, but I'm like, dang, man, why does it have to be against my team? I mean, I already got J-Mo and Jameer and now Terrion on the same team. Like, come on, man. Chicago, we got to draft some more Bama players, man. We got to get my dogs, man, from Bama. Like, but yeah, man, Terrion Arnold, man, I love Terrion's work ethic. I mean, he's a guy that's going to come in and give it his all. We saw what he gave to the University of Alabama, man. I'm definitely excited for him and happy to see where his career takes off, and you know, and Dallas Turner as well. You know, so definitely looking forward to seeing both of them in the league. Now let's talk about something that is some really good news that recently came out. The NCAA and the Power Five have agreed to a deal that will let schools pay players. So looking at this article, I just saw an article yesterday about it, and it says that, you know, they're going to be able to directly pay the players. And this is going to be the first time in the 100 plus year history of college sports where this is going to be able to happen. So this is a great thing. It says, you know, the NCAA, they're moving forward with the multi-billion-dollar deal agreement to settle three pending federal antitrust cases. So I'm reading directly from the article so you guys know exactly what's going on. So, and it says the NCAA will pay more than $2.7 billion in damages over 10 years to past and current athletes. The sources also say that the parties have also agreed to a revenue sharing plan allowing each school to share up to roughly $20 million per year with its athletes. And the president of the NCAA, Charlie Barker, made a statement and said that the five autonomy conferences and the NCAA agreeing to settle terms is an important step in the continuing reform of college sports that will provide benefits to student athletes and provide clarity in college athletics across all divisions for years to come. And that statement was made Thursday evening. So, again, man, this is big news. Obviously, always in favor of players being able to be paid, being compensated for their name, image, and likeness. And, you know, it's a good step in the right direction. The NCAA, obviously, you know, as a whole, nobody rocks with the NCAA. We don't like the NCAA like that. But, you know, from the standpoint where college athletes are able to get paid, you know, this is good news for them. And again, man, they deserve it. You know, they deserve it. And, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, these guys, you know, take steps to be able to get paid for their hard work. So, yeah. And last but not least, man, let's talk about real quick my finals prediction. So I told y'all I made this prediction before the Eastern and Western Conference finals started. If you want to, you know, fact check that. Like I said, you could go on my Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, you could go check that out. My Twitter is at VeeManJr. It's VeeManJr. So find me on Twitter, man. I'm always tweeting about sports and other things here and there. But if you ever want to fact check me, I said that the Celtics were going to win in six. The Wolves were going to win in six, and it was going to be Celtics and the Wolves for the NBA Finals. So that's my prediction. That's what I'm sticking to, man. I think that that matchup would be a great matchup for fans, for you know, the league. I think that that would bring a lot of excitement, and, you know, hopefully looking forward to seeing that. But Wolves, y'all got to handle business, man. Y'all got to get a dub. So, Anthony Edwards, if you're listening, man, it's go time, bro. Let's go. I need my predictions to be right. But yeah, man, that's all I have for y'all today, man. Look, if y'all aren't already, I know I mentioned my personal social media handle on Twitter, but make sure y'all are following the podcast page on Instagram. If you search Lace Up Podcast, you'll see the logo with the two blue Converses on it. That's me. Make sure you follow that. If you also can, if you're not already subscribed to the show, make sure you go and subscribe to Lace Up on Spotify, on Apple Music, on Audio Boom. I'm also on iHeartRadio. Make sure y'all subscribe so you can know when a new show is posted. It'll notify you. And also, man, looking to take the show on YouTube. So, you know, keep rocking with me, man. In the near future, we'll have some actual episodes posted so you guys can, you know, like I said, go on YouTube and stream as well. But again, man, I appreciate everybody rocking with me, being patient with me, man, in my breaks that I take here and there. But just know, man, I'm always thinking about y'all. I'm always thinking of new ways to better the show and give you all better content. And again, man, appreciate everybody. I hope y'all enjoy y'all's weekend, man. It's a long weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy this weather, man. The sun is out. Look, go to the pool. I hope y'all throwing something on the grill for Memorial Day weekend, man. Do it all, man. Have fun. But most importantly, be safe, man. Peace, love, man. I'll see y'all next week, I promise, with some more sports talk, man. I'm out, y'all. Peace.